Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome to the podcast. I am really excited to bring you a man on today's interview. So many of you have asked, and when you ask, you know what we do. We try to deliver. And so I'm really excited to have with me today Tom Blake, who is a really knowledgeable person because of his own personal experience, as well as his columns and books and TV appearances that he's done about dating over 50. And, you know, Tom's bio is paragraphs long. Just suffice it to say that he is wise and has a lot of experience. And Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Appreciate it, Bella. Thank you.
Good. Well, let's hop right into this. We started talking a little bit behind the curtain here before we went on. But tell, just kind of give us your story. How did you become a columnist for dating and dating over 50?
In 1993, at Christmas time, I had gone up in Northern California to be with my 83-year-old mom at the time, my wife of 6 years. And her two boys said, "Oh, we're not going to go this time. We want you to have private time with your mom." I said, "All right, great, that's fine." Well, I didn't hear from them over the Christmas holiday, Christmas Eve, nothing, you know, Christmas Day. I thought it was strange. Finally, on the morning after Christmas, the phone rang and my wife said, "Oh, hi, honey. We had a nice Christmas. The weather's been not good. I've been busy at work and we moved out."
And what? I said,
"Yeah, we moved out. It's my wife of 6 years." I said, "Well, what do you mean you moved out?" "Oh," she said, "everything's fine. I just wanted to give you a heads up." Boom, phone went down. So I got in the car to drive back a day early. I had to say goodbye to my mom, who was kicking the kitchen chair. She was so teed off at the
I bet.
And I had a little notepad on my lap. You know, I was being very careful because I was distracted, obviously. So, but I would write down notes like, "Why didn't we talk about it? Why didn't I know about it? What about the bank accounts? What about my business that I had? I owned a deli." And this and this and this. And that notepad became a diary because very soon thereafter, I was working in my deli and a guy came in and said, "Oh, are you Tom Blake?" I thought it was a new customer. I said, "How may we serve you?" He said, "No, I'm serving you with your divorce papers." So I went home and wrote in the diary. And then the divorce followed and I had to pay her money. I couldn't even believe that I had put her on the title of the house. Anyway, then I tried to start dating and we have all these rejections and have to spend money on dinners and stuff. And I put it in the diary.
And how were you dating people at this point, Tom? This is back in 94, 95?
94. This was 94. I had kind of a natural. I had a deli in Dana Point. A lot of nice women came in. We're a beach town. There's bikinis and bathing suits and all this stuff. Of course, they were 20 years younger and they weren't buying into my little act. And so at that time, there was no online dating, of course, just word of mouth, friends, just like we should do now, you know, get the word out, spread the word. And that's how it happened. And one day somebody came into the deli, a very lovely woman, and ordered a fresh carrot juice. And I looked across the counter where she was waiting. And I walked over and I said, "Would you like to have dinner?" And I thought she'd get all embarrassed. She looked at me and said, "That would be lovely." And that's how it happened. And we were together 25 years. I lost her last year. She passed away last year. So I had 25 years. We weren't married because we'd both been married before. But we had 25 years together. And so a few months after she passed, sitting at home, it was lonely. And I said, I need to be able to meet more people, even though I'm still writing my columns and all that. And I get tons of emails in. I have a newsletter that goes out every Friday. I've got 2,000 people all over the country who respond to that. And I just decided I need to start meeting women more than I am. So I joined two online dating sites. And wow, they have worked pretty well. But boy, have I learned from those.
Oh, let's talk about that. We're going to go straight off script and into that. So this is your first foray into online dating. And tell me what you've learned. What have you discovered? It feels like the Wild West, doesn't it?
Yes, I would say that's a very good description. What have I learned? I've learned don't get too excited about the pictures you see in profiles.
Okay.
Because I have had several women you meet, you're having coffee. Coffee is a good way to start, or something simple like that. Don't go ahead and schedule a lunch or a dinner. That's another story too. But so you get together for coffee and you see a person walk into the restaurant, you go, that can't be them. It doesn't look like a picture at all. And then 3 minutes later, you get a phone call. Where are you? I said, I'm in the restaurant. She said, so am I. Guess what? It was the woman who came by. Oh, I'm 10 years older than my picture.
That was her opening salvo. Hi.
Well, some of them wait 2 or 3 minutes before they admit to that. And, you know, I kind of understand that sometimes because women, if they say they're older, they say they're late 70s or 80, maybe they won't receive any invitations from men. So I'm not too critical of them, but both men and women have to be aware that the pictures they're looking at may be extremely outdated. One sent me a picture and I looked at it and said, oh my gosh, I got to meet her. Well, I met her. The picture she sent me was of her daughter, 41 years old.
Come on.
Or she was in the corner of the picture, but when I printed it and cropped it, I cropped her out. Anyway, so things like that. That's the first thing I would say that be ready for, Bella. But both men and women have to be ready for that.
100%. And, you know, Thomas, someone who coaches men and women every day at Smart right. Dating Academy, what I can tell you, are you still online right now?
Yes.
The best thing to mitigate that is doing a video date before you agree to meet somebody in person.
Okay.
So on any of the apps that you're on, whether it's Match or eHarmony or Bumble or Silver Singles, video should be built into it. It's one of the best things that came out of COVID was the incorporation of a camera on. So you don't even have to give anybody your Zoom address or your email. You can just say, hey, how about we grab coffee, but let's do a FaceTime through the app to just sort out the details. That is the best way to avoid these kinds of debacles.
Thank you. And I will definitely look into that. That would have made things a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. My clients, by and large, in our coaching practice at Smart Dating Academy, they say, you know what? The only disappointing dates that we go on now, truly, it doesn't mean that the person's going to be their soulmate or the lid to their pot, but someone who just truly is like, wait, I don't even know who this is, are dates where they've skipped video. You know, I always say crazy can't hide for more than 15 minutes. So if you get on video with somebody and they're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, it's probably going to come out.
Okay. That is great, great advice. Thank you so much. Now I'm learning. Look at this. I'm supposed to be the guy that knows everything, right? Not true. I learned.
No, that's okay. You're not supposed to be. We're all creatures. We're all learning every day. Every time I have a guest on this podcast, even though I have a company that does this, I learn from every client. I learn from every guest that I have on. So no, we're constant learners, and everybody can make us better if we're receptive to it.
Right. Another thing. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was going to say another thing that's a touchy subject, I guess is a sensitive way to put it, is this thing called chemistry and physical attraction.
Yeah.
Sometimes people email me and they say, oh, Tom, I met this most wonderful person. We're so attracted to each other and all this. I said, well, when did you finally meet in person? Oh, we haven't met in person yet. We just have that feeling. You cannot judge chemistry until you see somebody in person, both sides. And some people go, oh, I've fallen in love. They've fallen in love with an image.
Totally.
And it's probably going to be gone the first minute they see each other. That's something that I think is really important. And you have to be careful as a guy saying, well, you know, I'm a really affectionate guy and I'm romantic and all that, because some women, that freaks them out. Others, you better be touchy, hold hands, hug, but all that stuff. So that to me is one of the really important things to try to get understood early on. And that's why it's important to not carry on these long distance or online relationships without meeting face to face as quickly as you can. So you know what's going on.
That's true. People make up fantasies in their minds around three or four beautiful photos and 250 well-curated words. But until you actually meet, right? And I can tell you, back to the video, I have a client who got married. She's in her 60s and met a gentleman during COVID. They lived across state lines, and we had them doing multiple video dates per week because nobody could see each other during COVID, and they got married this May. So chemistry is beautiful when you're in person. Video can help to even increase the chemistry and the intimacy before, because now you feel like, oh my gosh, I've seen this person. I know how they move. I know what they look like. I know what they sound like. And you can actually build a friendship and a connection such that when you meet in person, it can be even more powerful.
Love it. Simply love it.
And you've got a great video background here. So you look good on Zoom. So I think you should be, video date the heck out of these dating apps.
Well, that's a great advice. And not only that, saves your money. I mean, not that that's what we're trying to do, but let's say you're driving 25 minutes for coffee or something more expensive than a coffee. Maybe it's a lunch or something. See a video, maybe it's going to avoid you doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that's, I don't know why I missed that, but there we go.
There you go. Your life is going to change as of today, Tom Blake, on these on these dating apps. You're going to find dating to be more productive, more fun, less expensive, less chafe on getting yourself to a place. Finding a place, yeah, you're not knowing that your date just walked in because it was a picture of her daughter, all of that, right? And the other problem is, to your point about keeping up, you know, we used to have to talk about sexual relationships. Today, we have to talk about textual relationships where people are just communicating back and forth via email and messaging. The other risk to that is that's how catfishers prey on people, is they want to build a lot of intimacy through writing, and they don't want to talk on the phone. Why? Because they're frauds. They certainly don't want to do video, right? So really using messaging smartly to build a little bit of a rapport and then jump to video. That's how you can really start to be efficient with this, so it doesn't feel like a drudge or a full-time job.
Are there people, Bella, who are reluctant to do that, though? Are there women and or men who are afraid if they get seen on video, they're not going to be accepted?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I've found through lots of surveys and work with our clients, especially in the beginning of COVID, people were very reticent to do video. And, you know, it's, oh, I have to be on Zoom all day for work. I have to be on video. I was like, that's nonsense. Then you shouldn't want to watch TV if you're staring at a screen all day. And nobody says that. So I think the real concern for people is I don't feel that I look as great on video as I do in person. So it's the story we're telling ourselves. I look better in person. Well,
you look pretty damn good on the screen, dear.
Thank you.
But I read that on your site, you and your staff, all are married, right?
Yeah. Everybody that works for me is married, happily married. And so I think that that's really kind of the mind monkeys that jump around in our heads. I don't know. I don't want to be on video. I don't look as good on video. At the end of the day, if you value your time and you value efficiency and a process, which most of you should definitely do video, and your video, like I'm saying, looks great. Your camera looks great. You're dressed well. The lighting is amazing. So Tom, your video date ready 100%. And for those of you who don't know, I do consults with people all the time, as does my team. And I don't see a lot of people that present really wonderfully on video in the beginning, because for work, we're often not given that feedback. Like, hey, you know, maybe you should think about putting your light here. Maybe you shouldn't have a camera that's going up your nose or whatever it is, or making you look like you've got three chins, because nobody's giving us this feedback. So this is what we do all the time. So you'd get an A+ for your video presentation.
Wow. Thank you. Can't wait to give it a try. That's going to open up many vistas.
I love that. And with you, tell me about, you know, some of the mistakes that you see women making. You've been online now. I'm guessing you've been on more dates in the past year. It's easier to get dates online than it is to, you know, find someone at your restaurant who looks appropriate and age appropriate. So what are the things, if you could give our female listeners some tips about things you've seen, what to do, what not to do from a male perspective, that would be great.
A couple of things right off the top. One is availability. And that means, now, most of us seniors who are trying to date, we're not looking for necessarily a 24/7 partner. We maybe both like our homes and we want to stay there. But it'd be nice to see each other 3 to 4 times a week, maybe 5. Well, if I meet a woman who is still working and she works long hours, and she has grandchildren 30, 50 miles away and kids, and she's involved with all these activities, she's got a lot of women friends, and she's available maybe once or twice a week, maybe. You got to free up some time in order to make this relationship situation work. I'm not saying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that would drive any of us crazy. But enough so that maybe you're seeing each other three nights a week, maybe 4.
I agree.
And so that's a very sensitive issue that's good for people to discuss ahead of time before they start, you know, getting really involved. So that's
Yeah, that's a great point. Sorry to cut you off. I was in, as my husband says, when we totally agree, in violent agreement. But I think what you're saying is exactly right. And for some people, which is not you, Tom, some, I have clients that really are like, listen, long distance would be perfect for me because I only want to be in a relationship where I spend maybe every other weekend with a person. Okay, that's great. We have people like that. And then we have a lot of people that would say, once I vetted somebody and she's really good partner material, then I do want to be together 3 to 4 nights a week. So really knowing who you are and what you want and making sure that the person that you're dating would be in alignment with that is key. You know, it's great that you want someone 3 to 4 days a week. Other women, like I'm thinking of one of my clients who was really happy that she was in Chicago and dating somebody from DC. They're now married. They live in the same city. But for a couple of years, she was running a big company. And this was very comfortable for her to do that. So yeah, availability and matching availabilities and matching the amount of time you want to spend together is really important. And that's something that you can get to know over the first few dates.
Now, you've touched upon another very important issue is long distance relationships. Those can be very difficult. And the fact that your friends met from Chicago, DC and got married, that's a pretty exception to the rule. So I think people who are dating online need to decide what's the distance they're willing to reach, meet somebody. You know, I live in South Orange County. LA is up there an hour away, parts of it, some of it are more than that. Freeway traffic, oh my gosh, stuff like that. How in the heck are you going to build a relationship? Because when you first meet, you're not going to be staying at each other's houses. Probably not. And so distance is an issue. What's your range of reaching out to meet somebody? And how do you feel if you do meet somebody, let's say you're in San Diego and somebody's in Palm Springs, and boy, you really like each other. Well, how are you going to solve that issue? And so that's another tricky one, is geographical distance. And it's just, I think it, now it depends on also how big of a city in which you live. If you're in a tiny little city where there's just no available people your age or whatever, then you need to go online and meet somebody further, and then you have to be willing to get on the horse and ride to see that.
That's right. That's right.
And so that, to me, is a big issue too.
Yeah, distance. You know, dating is hard enough. You know, putting traffic and state boundaries in between doesn't make dating any easier. But you're right. If you're finding a low inventory of people in your radius, in your search radius, something's got to give to, you know, and I know we've told love stories on this podcast show, you guys, with Kathy, who was 71, that found love with somebody that lived 3 hours away from her, that messaged her, and they did 7 video dates first. And when he drove the 3 hours to meet her, like, they knew this was it, right? We had Sugar's podcast episode where we convinced her into moving her distance, even though she lived in Chicago up north of Milwaukee. And the next day, she went on her last first date with a guy that was from Milwaukee. So you never know at the end of the day. When I worked with Steve Harvey for 7 seasons, he would always say, your soulmate is probably not going to come from your zip code. So be open to it. And Steve would always say, a man that wants to be with you will move mountains to be with you. So even if you need to traverse some traffic and it's hard, if he is making the effort, he is into you.
Those are good points. And I agree with that. So those are issues. And then of course, there's other issues that what type of character
yes.
does this person have? Does a person have for you an impeccable character? It's honesty, trust, caring, being empathetic, all these things that are really, really important. Or are they egotistical, or are they a narcissist? And probably in the video that you've recommended, Bella, you can get a feel for that. But some people can disguise things pretty well.
That's right.
And I think that this is almost the most important characteristic from first meeting is, what is the person's character? How do they treat a waiter? How do they treat a waitress? How do they talk about their parents or their ex-wife or whoever? Are they critical and this and angry? Or do they have a really nice character and they roll with the flow? And they can't be perfect. None of us are perfect. But you don't want to get somebody who's kind of a jerk. And then you've invested time and you certainly don't want to go marry them and then find out very quickly thereafter, oh, yeah, it's time for a divorce already. Anyway, that's another issue that I think is important. Personal hygiene. How do you take care of yourself? For a guy, oh, you don't shave much often, you know, your hair's not washed, you're wearing a t-shirt that's got the rim around it, like with holes in it and stuff like that.
Yuck.
And that's important both ways. Of course, women often spend a lot of time getting prepared to go out and stuff like that. And I think that's really commendable. I think some guys need to get it together a bit, even if you're just going out for coffee and that. Now, sometimes if I'm a stand-up paddleboarder. If I've been paddleboarding and we're trying to have a coffee date that morning and I didn't get a chance to get home, I still got my swimsuit trunks on and whatever I wore to paddle in, I explained that very clearly up. That's it. I'll prove it to you the next time I see you. But there's exceptions, of course, but overall, I think hygiene is very important.
Yeah. I mean, the way you present yourself on dates, and this is in-person dates and video dates, speaks volumes, right? You don't have a second chance to make a good first impression.
Right.
And so making sure that you look great. I'm not saying you need to, you know, go out and, you know, invest in a new tuxedo or get your hair and makeup done and, you know, wear a ball gown, but you want to look like the best version of yourself. And when we look like that, you know what happens? We date better because we feel more confident about ourselves.
Absolutely.
And we look, and it's, I like it. If I'm meeting somebody out, I like the fact that they also dress up. It means that my meeting with them was important and they dressed up.
Yep. And another thing that I think is important from both sides, is the person a good listener? Do they listen to you or they dominate the conversation? And I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I met a woman on a date and she knew I was a writer and an author. And she started in and she said, oh, I want to tell you about the stage play I wrote. So the first 12 minutes of the date were all about the stage play she had written. And I'm going, enough already. I finally had to kind of not be rude, but get in and maybe a guy said, excuse me, I got to go to the restroom or something. But
right.
Anyway, each person being a good listener and sincere listener, you know, what are her grandkids' two names that she treasures? Oh, okay, now I know that. And she'll appreciate that. And her saying, how's your column going, Tom? Or, you know, what are you writing in the next column? And that opens up for me to kind of say, well, I don't have a topic right now, but I'll ask Bella.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. So those are an answer to your long answer to your question about some of the things that I've learned about. But the most important thing I've learned here today is about that video.
Right.
Conferencing. Oh, yes. That's, boy.
It's changing the game.
Both got to agree to it, obviously.
100%. Now imagine if, you know, I was online and you were online and we're corresponding back and forth versus you even do this for 15 minutes. You have so much more of a better sense of if I was your date, like, oh, okay, looks like her photos. Yes. Is articulate. Yes. Right. Seems to generally have a positive disposition. Check. Yes. Right. And then you get more excited to go out with the person at that point. And let me ask you a question. If you're out on a date, the question that always, you know, it's a big question, especially for women, is who pays for the date? Tell us your philosophies on this.
Well, Bella, I even have an ebook entitled Who Pays for the Date.
I love it.
Okay. And believe it or not, I wrote that about 10 or 12 years ago, and it's still, went on and checked it the other day, it still goes. Well, I'll tell you my feeling. On a first date, I absolutely will pay, even if the woman says no, I'll say, look, please let me do it. She may jump and say, well, I'll leave a dollar tip or something. In fact, the first few dates, I just was raised that way by my parents. And now, if she starts suggesting we go have a 5-star meal somewhere, or we fly to Vegas or something, that's a different ball game. But I'm just my male point of view, and I think most of the guys that I know who are single feel that the guy needs to do that. In most of the cases so far, since I've been online dating for about 6 months, that usually always happens. Sometimes a woman will get to a place a little early. She'll go out and buy her own coffee. So I get there and she's already done it. So can't do anything about that. I don't say, oh, I'm going to reimburse you for it. That's awkward. But I just think, and then I think once a couple, they become, well, we're going to be seeing each other in this. That's where I think they have to communicate on the who pays so that there's not underlying anger. Or why didn't she do this or that? Because maybe I can afford it much more than she. And I want to know that because she'll say, all right, but we're going to have dinner at my house and not cooking. So there's other ways than to just lay some money on the table at a restaurant or a bar. And it's communication between two couples. Let's work this out. I think that's for me the best thing, that the guy pays pretty much at the start. And then if they're going to be a couple, communication and work out what is best for them. You know, if a woman's a single mom and she got kids at home and this and trying to do this and working two jobs, there's no way in heck that I'm going to allow her.
Oh, that's really stand up of you. I'm sure all the women listening to this will say, woo-hoo.
It's the way I was raised.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And, you know, we always tell our daters, offer to pay, right? Offer to split. And if the gentleman says, I've got this, thank you for offering, that's great. Then let him, but always offer, because it makes you look like you would potentially be a good partner, and then be gracious and accept the offer.
Okay. Good enough. I think that's really good advice, but it's certainly been around for a long time, because I wrote this book, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, and I was curious the other day, and I went and read it. It's like 16 pages ebook, and I went, wow, not much has changed.
So true.
Another question that popped into my mind. What about dating widowed people versus divorced people, or maybe people who have never been married? I don't know if that situation comes up in your academy.
Sure does.
But it probably does.
Yeah.
And then the question, well, if they're widowed, how long ago? And is that important? That's another subject. Some people said, oh, you're trying to go out way too soon. And I think Elvis said, don't judge me if you haven't walked in my shoes. I think he's the one that said.
Exactly.
And because some people need to move on and they still love their person they lost, but if it's helping them kind of bail out of the deep despair they've been in and the grief, don't criticize them, you know? And some people wait 4 years. I, my age, I don't have 4 years to wait. I don't have a year to wait. Anyway, so that's an important issue. Widows, divorcees, what do you look for in a profile? Do you prefer meeting a widow, or do you prefer meeting a divorced person? I don't know. Should it matter?
You know, I hear a lot of, and I say this a little tongue in cheek, from women, well, it'd be great if there was, you know, no ex-wife to have to deal with. So a lot of them will prefer widowers for that reason. Wow, it shows that he can be in a great relationship. It shows that he loves someone and took care of someone until the very end. But you're right, there is always that question of time. And people ask me, like, what's too soon to date after divorce or to date after loss? And to your point, every person is different. You don't know if that person has been nursing someone who's been very ill for a decade and Absolutely. Has had the counseling, the work, the time to process. The grief has been going on for a decade, right? And you've been able to have so much anticipatory grief. Then you move through it maybe faster than somebody who lost their partner at the blink of a hat. And it was a freak accident and horrible. So I think that every person's journey is different. So don't judge somebody. I think people like to come up with algorithms and models in their own head, right? Yeah. And that doesn't work. Just because you might have dated someone who decided he lost his partner and was out there too early at a year, that doesn't mean that's too early for everybody. That was a him problem. That's not an everybody problem.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's what you teach your clients at your academy. That's one of the things I'm sure you check off for them. Yeah. And well, speaking of ex-wives, I can speak very, very much on ex-wives. I've had three, which is why my partner and I, the 25 years, both of us had been married before. We didn't want to do it again. I had no children. She had 4 and 8 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren. And she didn't want to be married. I didn't want to be married. And we had a great, great relationship. So it's just the way people are and their situations and what they are. And so she didn't talk about her ex-spouse as much. I don't think she wanted to. And I didn't want to talk too much about mine either. No, I'm not going to start today. I'm only kidding you, dude. But if somebody can't stop talking about their ex-spouse or lover or whatever, they really need to get a handle on that, because that can get pretty old pretty quick. That doesn't mean you're not empathetic and stuff like that, but yeah, just, oh, my ex-wife, you know, she used to do this and she used to do that. I always had to do the dishes.
Time to call a therapist. Don't use your date as a therapy session.
I love your advice about time to call a therapist. I'll tell you that in a private session sometime.
I love that. And what have been some of your most popular columns overall, and what nuggets can you share? I find it so interesting that you've been doing this for so long and so successfully.
Well, one topic has kind of just popped up that I've written about. It didn't pop up, but it just occurred to me in this senior online dating. And the column I wrote recently is called Dogs and Senior Dating. Now, what does that mean? That means on profiles, almost not every woman that you see, but 70% of them, I'm guessing, have their dogs in their profiles. Often they are holding their dogs. But this way, this way, this way, the dog's kissing them. She has 7 photos, and 4 are solo photos of the dog itself. We're not online to date the dog. We're online to date the woman. So I wrote a tongue-in-cheek article about, it was fun because I got tons of responses about dating and dogs. So many responses came in. I did a follow-up on animals in senior dating because the cat lovers were upset that I didn't give them enough credit. I love cats. I've had cats. I've had dogs. One guy said he was saved by his pet pig when his wife left him. She took the dog, she took the kids, and left the pet pig. He said, pigs are, he'd bring me my paper in the morning and stuff. And so those articles were fun and amazing. Another article that I have written a lot about is Johnny Cash. Now, why would I write about Johnny Cash? Because I worked with Johnny for 2 years in the 70s, and we became very close friends. And I knew June Carter, his wife, the Carter family, Mother Maybelle Carter. I knew them all. And so that memory of Johnny keeps coming back because there's these tribute bands that come around, and I go see them. And the books I've written about my association with Johnny Cash, I'll give him a book, we'll talk about it, and then all of a sudden I'll go, that's a column. And how does it tie in with dating? Well, because you go see these tribute bands, you take a date. And that's how I tie it in. And Johnny's daughter's name is Roseanne Cash. She's extremely talented. She has 4 Grammys, and she travels around the country. Anybody ever gets a chance to go see her, one, contact me ahead of time so I can alert her. And 2, she's very talented and she's very bright. So I like to write about Johnny and some of the other celebs that I've had the pleasure of, you know, fortune to have met. That spices it up a little bit. So I can write about not only love and losing love after 50 and up, on up, but life itself. And so that's some of the ones. The first column I ever wrote was called Home Alone with Only the Dogs for Company. Now, that was based on what I told you about when my wife called me and said they'd moved out. That column was 29 years ago. I just resurrected it last week. And because it had dogs in the title, all these people jumped in and said, oh, I want to comment about the dogs. And you know, one lady went so far as her dog will tell her whether she should have a second date with the guy. I'm going, well, then why should we take out the woman? Why don't we just take out the dog on a date?
Anyway. Oh my gosh. That's so interesting. And, you know, anything else that you want to impart to our listeners, gems that you've picked up about dating and aging, dating as a man, things we can do better?
No, just take a deep breath. Take it slowly. I mean, don't take it too slowly. And you have to get off the couch and out of the house. You have to get involved with social interaction because, one, it's good for your health, proven. But still, to me, the most desirable way to meet someone is through networking, telling your friends, your whoever. I mean, I'll go into Costco and I'll see an attractive woman. I'll see, oh, no wedding ring. And I'll go up and ask her if the avocados are right. And then I'll say, I'm single. I know I'm a little older than you, but if you are available, I'd like to meet. And most of the time, never happens. But, and you give them a card with a number on it so that if they need to contact you. And I think women, single women, should carry some sort of a card. Maybe their first name only, not their last name, no address, no city. But somehow for to give to a guy if she would like to talk to him. Because sometimes they forget to ask. You know, the guy forgets to ask and then he's going, oh my God. Just be assertive, not aggressive. Oh, here's my card. No, just, hey, if you ever... I'm single. If I live in Palm Springs, whatever it is, if you, or Chicago or whatever, you would like to try to get together, here's how you reach me. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful with that. No address, no, maybe not your full name, maybe a separate phone number or an email address without your name in it and stuff like that. So those are important tools that I think apply particularly to women.
And absolutely. We'd say get a Google Voice account, which is a free fake phone number, voice.google.com. And it's an internet-based number that you can call and text from. So you never have to give out your real phone number. Even if you go to a restaurant, you know, can we have your cell phone number to text you? Nope. Here's my Google Voice number because we can be Googleable by our cell phone numbers.
So it's Google Voice.
Uh-huh.
See, another thing I've learned today, you guys must have quite an academy there. I've read your success stories and it's cool.
We do. It's very fun. We have a great, I'm very blessed to do the work that we're able to do.
And guess what? You're really good at it. I can tell you, because I've had some experiences with this type of stuff. I would like to say one thing, if it's okay, if it's not off too far off the record. I do have a weekly email newsletter called On Life and Love After 50 that's free, totally free, that people can sign up with on my website. You should be on there because you can see what this crazy guy out in California is talking about. I'm a Midwesterner, by the way. I'm from Michigan, originally.
Oh, I knew I liked you.
Yeah, and go blue and all that. But if they would like to receive that newsletter, they can go on my website, my Finding Love After 50 website, and sign up on it or reach me through my email address. I can probably have something that you'll post on here. And if anybody contacts you and wants to be on there, let me know. I'll get them on or they can sign on themselves.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Tom. You've been a great guest. You've got a wealth of knowledge, and I am certain you're going to meet the next lid to your pot, and I can't wait to hear when you do.
Well, there's a prospect out there.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
a therapist.
Oh, okay.
Psychology therapist or whatever.
I love that. Nobody better to date than a therapist, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm joking. I love therapists. So I'm a big fan. I have lots of clients that are therapists too.
I'll bet because they don't practice what they preach.
they're doing God's work, right? For everybody else. So, I'm really happy to hear that. And I look forward to staying in touch. And Smart Daters, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free, as always, like I tell you, we are the little podcast that could, like the little blue engine that could. So rate us, give us a 5-star rating. If you want us to continue to doing this kind of work, write a review, let us know that you love Tom. We'll have more men on the podcast. So until next week, I wish you nothing but happiness, love, peace, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.